Hey, and welcome back to the A24 podcast. Rami Youssef is the multi-hyphenate star and creator of Rami on Hulu, and the first guest to make a return appearance on the pod. For today's episode, we arranged a Zoom catch-up between Rami and his season 2 co-star and A24 treasure, Mahershala Ali. What their conversation may lack in audio quality, it more than makes up for in heart. We hope you enjoy it.
Well, Mahershala Ali for the A24 podcast, along with my brother, from another mother.
Rami Youssef here at the A24 podcast. Mahershala Ali, this is fun. The best. Fun.
Rami, I know you're leading the way on this because you're the...
Let me ask you something. All right, so let me ask you, because I heard you while I was on mute. You were looking at my... I have this Zoom profile photo of... I don't even know where it's from, but it's this like really... It's this really beautiful architectural... gorgeous thing where the sunlight's kind of coming in, right? So it's like dark, yeah. And then the sunlight's coming in and it looks like this beautiful place to pray. And then you started talking about pilgrimages and I was like, and then I started thinking, oh, have you been to Mecca? Have you done a pilgrimage?
No.
Dude.
No. You like, you know, spiritually bragging over there right now. I see it in your face.
You're like, I'm good.
Haji,
well, Rami. I haven't done the big one, you know. Okay. And I think like because, you know, for those who don't know, it's, there's many pilgrimages you can do those at any time, and then there's the Hajj, which is like it comes in the big Eid after the bigger Eid that comes after the Ramadan Eid. Yeah, it's like I haven't done the one, but I've done the mini one. Yeah. I think that's emblematic of my personality.
When you do,
I've kind of done the pilgrimage.
When you do it, you got to do it like DJ Khaled and just be like filming the prayer the next day.
He's the best. He's all about like positivity. You're also a very positive person.
No, he is.
I find you to be like just being outside with you in, you know, -4 degree weather. Yeah. On a railroad track. I'm like, oh, Mercer's a really positive guy.
I have to try, you know, because... You start going, the thoughts take over. You start going down that rabbit hole, and then how I feel when I get into a negative space is not pleasant to be around. You know, you kind of suck the energy out of the room. So I try to keep it relatively uplifted. You know, and shoot, you're that way, like for sure, and it's inspiring. You know, just in general, just your energy and your ability to just galvanize people, bring people together. Always thinking about other people before yourself. It's pretty extraordinary, man.
No, I mean, working with you is the same. I was like, I remember we worked with you for like a couple of days and then we were like, oh, he's not actor-y because you're so good. So we're like, he's got to be actor-y. Like, he's probably really like pensive and like meditates. And it's like, you're definitely a pensive guy, but I like in a good way, but on set, it's just all jokes.
Yeah, we have fun. And I need to say, because I had my head in the sand at the time, so I got to the third season late, but man, what a fantastic season, bro. Dude. What a fantastic season, man. And let me say real quick, one of the things I quite appreciated was, you know, just in watching your show in general, it's there's just an inherent degree of anxiety that I think as an audience member, you just carry, you know, and you're always rooting for Rami, even though you get annoyed with him and, you know, all that kind of thing. But what I thought was really interesting and a little unsettling was, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, but it's just how I interpreted the sort of the flow and course of the season was we do it. We have people that we're in close proximity to that do it, but there's that thing where somebody sort of like settles into a certain type of mediocrity, like, or like settles into a way of being that isn't necessarily their highest self. And what I always appreciated about Rami was that he was always like very consciously struggling toward trying to be the best version of himself, even though, you know, he trips up time and time again, and that's what makes it so entertaining. Yeah. And there was a sense in the third season for me that it was almost like he had outgrown that struggle.
Yeah.
Like he'd kind of dipped into a place for a moment, you know, because the season goes by so quick. But there is a sense that, you know what, I'm feeling good about myself. I'm earning money. I can take care of myself. I can even help my family if they'll accept it. But this is, I'm kind of going down this path, even though he's trying to get things right with Zaynab and everything like that. But there was a sense that he was kind of like settling into something. And then before it's all over, the Rami that we know, there's that awakening, that reawakening that happens, you know? And I just thought it was just so well done. And the other thing I love is that everybody gets their moment on that show, you know? And as somebody who's come up in this business where so many times you're kind of like tucked away in the periphery, it's really beautiful and refreshing to see people who kind of just they play their part, they come in, they make their contribution, and then, you know, you kind of keep moving the story along, but then suddenly they're the star of the show for an episode, and you get to like really get to know a character and really relate to how they are as an individual dealing with their own path, their journey, their issues, their struggles, their aspirations. And so in a certain way, there's like every character on that show is sort of equal in a sense. Of course, we see more of you than anyone else, but everybody feels important. And that's a great achievement, man. And like, you know, you're clearly the showrunner and writer and all that kind of stuff. So I'm sure that there's some awareness of that, but just as an actor who hasn't been in a position where I'm show running or have any desire to even attempt that crazy feat, to see how well you take care of your characters is one of the things that makes the show really fascinating. So I just think that there's a real generosity in how you present these characters, and even there's a real generosity in the people you give opportunity to. Otto, for instance, you know, who the audience may not be aware of, but
Dina's love interest. Yeah.
You know, and I was just smiling from ear to ear. I had to text him and just let him know, bro, I'm so proud of you, man. He did fantastic work. And here it is.
You don't think I saw that text 3 minutes after you sent it, where I'm getting Adel calling me being like, yo, man, rehearsal says I'm a good actor. And I'm like, dear God, I've created a monster.
He killed it. I want more of him. I really want more of him. So anyway, that's a really long-winded way of me saying congratulations and just fantastic work, man.
You're such a big part of it, man. Like I mean, I think, you know, you coming into our show was really one of the best things that could have happened, not only to the show, but I think just to me as a person, because I think that first off, I couldn't believe that you were a fan of the show, which was amazing. But then it was amazing to, I think, you know, in terms of just being generous with a story, right? I think that I had always gone into making something with the desire that what we're trying to do, the philosophical idea, the higher aspiration, is the thing that we're serving, right? So it's like, this is a show. Yes, the show is called Rami, which was, you know, if you knew me back then, you'd know how hard I was brainstorming for alternate titles. But it's what we ended up calling it. But the real thing we were really trying to do is show faith as a real human inner struggle, and show it as something that I think, you know, in a grounded human way, watching someone aspire, watching somebody seek. And I think part of what you're talking about in what shifted in the Rami character in the third season was, we went in saying, oh, this is the first time we're going to see this character not seeking. Like, what does it look like if he turns that off? He's exhausted of seeking. But the show began, and I think by the end of the season, you know, he's back to seeking. But it really began with this active desire to show spiritual seeking in a way that felt human, that felt real, and that didn't treat religion like a punchline, but also didn't dance around the topic in a way where you're afraid to say things, right? And so I kind of went in saying, like, I'm serving that idea. That's the thing that's most important. And so I think when we realized that we were going to have you in our show, we were already like a month into a writer's room and had a bunch of ideas that I've been stewing on. And then I think your arrival into it, we basically undid everything that we were doing. And what was so joyful about that for me even though it actually was kind of stressful and I didn't want to fuck it up and I wanted you to be happy and I wanted like it to work for the story and I wanted all these things. What was really joyful about it and why I say it kind of like changed my life was because I realized that I got to put to the test the reality of like, oh, this isn't just about like serving what's in my head. It's like, I'm actually trying to serve this idea that the show is about. So even though it's quote unquote my show, the show actually belongs to the idea that we set out to do, and everything else comes after that. And so Mahershala Ali wants to be on the show after we talked. Like, I asked you and you said yes. I had to ask. And then I was like, oh crap. Like, he said yes. Like, shit. Like, you know, like I thought he
said, I said no, yes to two episodes. Then it was like, how about three? How about four? How about five? I was like, Rami, you got this much time. Let's just do it in this time frame. I'll do it out for me.
I know it really, I mean, you know, that's just the era negotiator in me too.
I'm right? So honored.
So I'm like, I'm kind of like, all right, you know, let's, what's the best deal we can get here? How much can we squeeze out of, you know, this time with Mahershala? I mean, it's Mahershala. So but it was really expansive is what I'm trying to say. It was really expansive to bring in your character. It totally shifted the DNA of the show in a way that I think the show needed. It was kind of a spiritual process, even meeting you, having it work out, having it go from two to six episodes or whatever. I think it might have been six. And then have that bleed into what the third season was, because I think the shifts we kind of make from season to season have felt emblematic of years in a person's life. You know, there's the year you're really seeking and everything feels hopeful. And then I would say the season we did with you is like, oh, there's this year where there is still that seeking, but it's starting to feel like the walls are closing in on you. Mm-hmm. And then this third season really had this, you know what? I'm sick of that feeling of the walls closing in on me. I'm sick of the feeling of even seeking and failing and falling. So instead of these walls collapsing on me, I'm just going to leave the room. I'm not even going to try and do what I was trying to do. And then of course the room pulls him back in. But it's like, it has been this really great journey. And I remember like, yeah, I think I remember us having a conversation after the second season and I was like, dude, thank you for doing this. It really, like, I feel like I learned the sauce of our show after doing the first two seasons and trying so many different things. And I think in many ways, the third season is a reflection of the balance of like profound and profane and serious and funny and kind of riding those lines in a way that I feel so thankful for, you know, the work we got to do on it, because it really, yeah, it's just influenced me as like a person.
I want to segue because of you sort of speaking on these, on the like the polarity of the show. And one of the things that continues to impress me, and I sincerely mean this, there are few shows I can point to where I see someone, a writer, a team of writers, a showrunner, really put on display the art of walking a fine line. And you do it time and time again on the show, and you've done it from the beginning, where you're able to sometimes have Rami act as an observer, or just as the audience even, you're just seeing. And I don't mean this in a negative way, but with the baggage of Islam, again, I don't mean that in a negative way, but I just mean with what we understand the teachings to be generally, even if we're wrong about some of those things, and you do a wonderful job of sometimes highlighting the specifics that actually offer an opportunity for people to correct how they may think of something. In this season, it was sort of Israel-Palestine stuff, and be able to speak on that in a way that was still like entertaining, but like hitting at some real truths to Uncle Nassim and his sexuality, the things that Rami continues to tackle over and over again. It just, there's so many things. If I went through your show where you're commenting on the Uyghurs in China, and there's things that you'll constantly get into, and you're able to time and time again hit that right spot on the mark where someone can watch it, embrace it, hear a truth in it. Maybe they choose to be offended. I don't know. But my point is, it just feels spot on time and time again. And I imagine you guys have to have a lot of conversations when you dip into these sort of hot button issues, or maybe not. Maybe you guys have such a clear understanding of how to tackle these things. Like maybe you don't spend a lot of time concerned about something or walking things back or any of that. But that's one of the most impressive things, is that you hit all these topics that can be really taboo culturally, taboo within Islam, you know, and you're able to speak to them in a way where you don't hide. You know?
No, I appreciate that. I mean, I appreciate you noticing it, obviously, because I think that, you know, the intention is never to like be sensational, and it's never to, you know, we're never trying to exacerbate anything that is already inflamed. But I think what we're trying to do is bring something human and flawed to it. And I think like a lot of polarity in public discourse is like, you're right, I'm wrong, I'm perfect, and you're saying I'm not perfect, and the other side saying, no, you're not perfect, I'm perfect. It becomes combative. And I think we really try to be precise in what we're saying. It's not even about being gray, because I do think we're pointed. I think that we provide a very pointed, clear critique of the Israeli government and military. And I think that we also tie that conversation and just zoom it out a little bit and show how linked it is to being in a country like America, whose government and military operates almost identically, if not, a blueprint for how what's happening over there is happening. So, you know, to me, it's always like that there isn't anything you can't talk about. It's just, what are you going to put it next to as you're talking about it? You know, how are you going to, it's like there's all this information and there's all these feelings. And I feel like, you know, this is my job as a stand-up, and then my job as someone in the show. And a lot of these things I try on stage first, and I kind of find the buttons of like, oh wait, that's probably too far. But my job is to take all those feelings, take all these things, and actually organize it and weave it in a way where, you know, it's like, yeah, ingredients that can be tolerable and can actually open it up and expand into something, right? It's like, you've never drink a cup of vinegar, but like you need it in hot sauce and you like hot sauce, you know? And so it's like, how do we take these things that we know need to be said, but also, yeah, they're part of something else larger that feels like it's a painting of the human condition. And I think the most interesting spiritual principle to me is mercy. And I think we actually try to have mercy with everything we talk about. You know, I think that there is this undercurrent of mercy around even, you know, whether it be Israel, Palestine, whether it be abortion, whether it be, you know, sexuality, whether it be self-loathing. I think we try to treat it with mercy. And part of that to me is like really allowing the Rami character to kind of like go through the fire of, you know, we're not protecting this guy, you know, and someone called him
and
like
making it personal for like, every character though, too.
Yeah.
I think you do a wonderful job of honing in for each character, something that from the outside could just be viewed as a flaw in someone. And then once you humanize it, you understand that there's so much more texture to the many things that so many of us are processing in our journey. And that's where the mercy comes in, because it's so connected to empathy, you know? And I think you really protect the space for us to be empathetic towards these characters.
And I think that's where like I have so much fun with centering the show around other characters, you know? And I think we had such a great time doing it with you on the show. And then we have this amazing cast of our family. And I think like, I think we get that empathy by switching the lens. You know, I grew up on this mix of loving Tarantino movies and Coen Brothers movies and loving Apatow movies. And, you know, in an Apatow movie, you relate to everybody. And in a Coen Brothers or a Tarantino movie, you relate to nobody because everyone's so weird. And so it was always like, for me, oh, how do you take those like relatable characters and throw them in these really unrelatable worlds where all the characters are kind of strange? And it's a really fun thing to do on the show. It's like, you know, Rami's the guy we're following. Everyone looks a little weird. His mom looks a little weird. She seems one-minded when we're in his point of view. His sister seems really like aggressive and mean, and his dad seems zoned out. But now we're following his sister, and all of a sudden, Rami looks really weird. He's skewed, you know.
She feels like she has it together a bit in comparison.
He's got it way more together, and we totally get what's going on with her. And I think in a way too, that's kind of what it feels like, you know, as a person. And, you know, everyone online's always talking about, you know, I'm having my main character moment, or I feel like the main character or the hero, or, you know, like that's like kind of really pervasive slang that I really relate to, because I think it's what's fun about designing a story the way that we did. And I think like something that I wanted to ask you about, because I think you're so cool and interesting because you are someone who, like, I do think you're a transformative actor. Like, I think that you're somebody who genuinely does the art and craft of acting in a way that I really admire. Like, I think you become somebody else. Like, I feel like I'm really excited to keep acting and expand and do different things. And I also know there's a little bit of me in it, you know, like, it's just kind of like how I roll. But with you, it's like, oh, you are someone who really, you really embody it. At the same time, everything you do feels kind of a piece, like Swan Song. I thought the questions it was asking and the way you embodied that, and you also produced that. I guess I'm kind of curious, like, as you pick stuff and you're doing more producing and all of that, you know, you obviously could have picked so many things, and like you pick our TV show after winning an Oscar, right? Like, it's like, there's like, I wanted to directly ask you like what your organizing principle is for what you jump into and what you do.
Thank you for that, first of all. And one thing I do want to say before I attempt to answer your question, I think on the flip side, just as you have more and more time just in the work and in the space, I'm just curious and excited to see you in other people's projects and in other people's work, just because for a few years now, we've basically seen you, if it's on TV, it's essentially your work and your writing, even though that's a shared effort, I'm sure, you know, with other writers.
Of course. The show is
named Rami. You know, part of your responsibility is to bring a lot of yourself to it, you know? So what I would love to see in your journey is how you're challenged and what you discover the more and more you work outside of your own universe or bubble. Cause I think that's where I think a lot will be revealed to you about yourself and who you are as an actor when you don't have the burden and the luxury, but it's also the burden of doing your own work, because it's the same for stand-up, like that's your work, you know? And so there's a voice there that you, why would you want to get away from that? Like, you have to embrace it and you have to use it and you have to like turn up the volume on that a little bit, right? And so you're going to feel different the more and more you have opportunities to dip into working for and with other people. So I just want to say that real quick. And I've only done that. Like, my entire acting life is choose from what someone else was sort of putting in front of me. So with that said, you know, one of the things that I do listen for when I read something is I listen for where fear comes up for me. And usually that's a good indicator for if it's going to be challenging. And if I look for what's challenging, or if I listen for what's challenging, then I think that that's inherently telling me that this is something that goes beyond, even if I have a sense that I can do it, it's still something that goes beyond a space that is known for me. It's going beyond my comfort zone. And so if it's going beyond my comfort zone, that means I got to do something that I haven't done up until that point. That's why The Shakes terrified me, because I hadn't done that. You know, when you asked me, it made me nervous. And closer we got to it, I got even more nervous about it. Then it pushes me to the prayer mat and I start asking for help to make it easier for me. And one of the things I really want to be able to do, that I've always wanted to be able to do, was to sort of transform, to leave enough of myself behind where I didn't feel immediately energetically recognizable, and to really give over to the given circumstances and really try to commit to someone else's aspirations, problems, and issues. And I think with that sort of rigid, unbending commitment, I think you can get there. You know, I think it's just a muscle, you know, that you have to keep sort of working on. And I do think it, for some people, that might be easier than others. I don't know where I fall on that scale. I really don't, because I only know myself. But I do think that that's always sort of the goal, is to find something that I haven't had a chance to experience. I don't have a desire to play another Washington lobbyist or whatever, you know, unless it was like so different from the one I've already played, you know. So I feel like it's kind of probably just the Aquarius in me that always wants to be doing something different and experiencing something different, and probably have a little ADD tucked away up in there somewhere where I have to, it's only going to interest me if it's something that is new you know, and that really grabs my attention and scares me enough for me to really stay focused on the outcome from the outcome in a sense of it coming to life and feeling like that feels alive after you read it or after you do a take or two. Cause I can also hear when it's falling flat. I can feel it when it's not alive yet. And so that spark,
like music. Yeah.
Yeah. When it comes alive, you feel chemistry. Like in working with you, I felt chemistry. I felt it. You know, those times when you walk through it and it's like, okay, that's cool. But then you get in take three and something like pops and happens that you can't quite put your finger on. And you go, that's what I'm looking for. And once you've experienced that before, you're constantly on the hunt for that. And if a day or a scene falls short of that, it's hard to live with that disappointment for me. It's not a great feeling. So it's really just wanting to meet a new character, wanting to meet a new person, wanting to meet a new opportunity, and as best I can, try to prep myself to make that character believable to myself and to the audience, you know? And so I think that's where the work is, because the rest kind of just, it has to kind of happen with the magic of the day. You know, you have just be open to that appearing, you know? And
I mean, it's so interesting too, because you talk about even like, putting your head down on the mat. And I think like for me too, like having prayer as part of my life or, you know, approaching this spiritually, you realize how spiritual this business actually is, like in a beautiful way, because it's like there's these pages that have been written that we're trying to bring to life, but we don't see them yet. Like it's like it like sounds, you know, like it even sounds like a parable when you talk about what it takes to make a movie. Like there is so much believing in the unseen, and there is so much what can we find of ourselves in this and bring it. And and when any of it ever comes together, like I just haven't met any great director that isn't kind of expressive of the fact of, yo, it's a miracle that thing came together. You know, like no one seems like that cocky of, you know, of course this was going to work. You know, I think everyone's like, whoa, it's a miracle that all that worked out. It's a miracle it didn't rain. It's a miracle it did rain. It's a miracle that, you know, we didn't die. You know, it's really, there's so much faith and hoping and gratitude in it.
And it's really humbling. Spiritual. It's a really humbling profession in a way. Like it blows my mind if I meet someone that is in this business and they're arrogant, because like so much can go wrong. I constantly feel like really humbled by this business and by the task of storytelling.
Yeah, I don't know how anyone's arrogant. And I think speaking too of like, there was something I wanted to bring up on the podcast that I think a lot of people wouldn't know that, you know, almost really fractured our working relationship. We were in the middle of shooting and I challenged you to a one-on-one basketball game, you know, and I think you kind of showed up with some arrogance of like, I'm going to win this. And you had this, like, of course I'm going to win this. And I think we
had
played
a roll
to five.
Ball, man. I had a roll ball. I couldn't even go between my legs in that thing.
I think we played to five and I won and there is footage. There's footage. I don't know where it is, but how did that feel? Like, were you like, how did you reconjure, you know, the serenity of the Sheikh after, you know, you were pretty defeated? I think
it made me feel like next time I play you, I need to have on some shorts. That's what I felt like.
I was wearing jeans. I don't think either of us were dressed for the game, but I was beating you off pure shots. I mean, it wasn't.
You got me. I will admit you got me, unfortunately.
That happens to me all the time, though, in basketball.
Like, I wasn't quite prepared for your game.
Well, this is why I think I get so underestimated in basketball that I usually win the first game and then I lose the next six because it's whoever I'm against is like, oh, I can't believe I let you do that. And now I'm going to, if you notice, I did not accept the second game because I knew what would happen. I know we haven't talked about that in a few years now, but
we probably got called away from lunch. That's probably what happened. Next time I'm not playing with just my left hand. Next time I'm going to use both hands.
Well, it's a thing. Like, I think for me, it's really important that there isn't a next time. Like, I think that's it. That's our record against each other. I want to know, and we never play another game.
You got that. You got me.
That's really important to me.
You got me. I will admit. I want to ask, what space feels most organic for you when you think about like all the things that you're doing just on Rami alone? I used to joke with you because you just did everything. Whether it's, you know, stand up or acting, show running, writing, producing, or maybe the 10 other things that I don't know about that you do and are into, is there a space that feels more of a, not even a strong suit, but that where you just feel most comfortable in? Or is it all of the above? Is it all sort of the same for you to some degree?
No, I kind of related to what you were saying, like, because when you were saying you feel like there's that ADD tucked away, and I feel like there's this big conversation about ADD-ness that is definitely a big part of our culture, because I think all of our attention is getting so fractured. And so I feel like that's naturally happening. And then I think there's certain people who are on top of that, even more prone to where their attention goes. And I think part of why I think I enjoy doing so many things is because it truly keeps me focused. Like, I actually can't look away. And I think I like that it demands that of me. So sometimes I would have this fear of like, okay, if I'm only doing one thing, then I kind of drift away and I come back. But it's like when I'm doing three things, it's like, well, okay, maybe I looked away from this, but like, I can't, because this other thing is going to pull me back in. You know, I'm not just acting. I'm not just this. I'm not just that.
Right.
But I also think that there's like some, in a way, there's some youth in that too. And I think like, as I've gotten to make the show, you know, we've been making the show since 2017. And I think now it's like, I've been doing this for 6 years. And the more that I do it, I'm just starting to take my time more and just zone in on one part of the process more. You know, like this season, I really made an effort to, okay, how many things can I direct where I'm just not in it, you know, because that brings, you know, a lot of joy to me to just only be focused on that for a day while I'm on set. Right. And so I think the answer is really, for me, it's like, I don't think that I've gotten to a place where I can actually say like one is genuinely better than the other. But I will say lately, I've felt that when I'm directing something I've written, you know, like I think the combo of that feels really focusing, because I still get that thing where it's like, I can't really look away because it's like, okay, not just getting it on the page, but then there's all these other decisions we got to do as we're shooting. And so there's something about balancing those two things where I feel really comfortable. And then I like not having to be in shape I'm not as aware of like pimple management. You know, I can kind of
get away with the vanity a bit, right?
You know, yeah, because the vanity will drive you, you know, like I could just kind of chill and be like, you know, not cut my hair for a while. Although part of like this season, I like actually cut my hair. It was like our season, my hair was too long. I look back, that was one thing where I was like, man, my hair was long. Like I gotta
look good. I saw the grow up. The Egyptian afro and silhouette.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It was good. A vibe, but I kind of stepped away and I was like, man, I looked a little raggedy there a couple of times. It just looked like I did, you know, it fit the character. He was not taking care of himself. But yeah, I do think that there is I've been enjoying that. But to your point, I think being in you know, in situations where I'm acting in something that I like, you know, I got to do the film with Yorgos that's coming out this year. And that was like what you described in a sense for me.
I'm
like where I said, oh wow, I'm here. It's late 1800s. I have a British accent. Okay, this obviously isn't me. There's some of it that has parts of me, but it did feel like the beginning of I'm flexing something that I don't know. And that was really replenishing. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think I can, like, you know, I think though what I do like, and this is probably the immigrant kid in me, the thing I probably wholly net out at with like the writing directing piece, like enjoying it even more, is that I feel like I have more control of it. Like there's this part of me that's like, I'm not waiting for a phone call. I don't have to worry about like, does somebody like me? I don't have to like I'm just built, like I want to make stuff, you know. We finished shooting the season, this third season, and I finished post and I was so exhausted. I was like, man, I can't work, you know? And then 4 days went by, 5 days went by, and I had one day that I was by myself and I was just like, all right, let me sleep in. And then I was just thinking of something that made me laugh. And I was like, started like writing on my notes, my Apple notes on my phone. And then I started being like, oh, maybe this could, you know, I don't want to wait to put this in the show. Maybe this could be like a short film. I met this guy at Prospect Park. He had like a nice camera. Like maybe we could just like shoot this as a short next week. And I'm like, all of a sudden, I'm like,
this is who you are.
I have a problem. I mean, it's like, yeah. You know, it's like all of a sudden you're like, oh shit. Like, but there's this thing in it that does feel like, I'm like, oh, okay, at least I know. Yeah, I could do this. And maybe some of it is like, there's that safety in it, you know, kind of growing up with like the anxiety of how are we going to pay our bills? Or, okay, we're like just kind of making it, but any check we get, we're sending a bunch of it back to Egypt. You know, there's always this like, nothing's ever really enough. You're never really quite where you need to be. And all these things that I really, you know, respect my parents for going through. But then I like look at myself, I'm like, oh yeah, I have that, and maybe I do feel more comfortable like knowing, like, you know, I can, you know, okay, no matter what, I could write, and even if I lose my hands, I could dictate, and even if I lose my voice, I'll figure something out. You're always planning for a disaster.
when do you feel that calling to do stand up? That must feel like a unique feeling feel like, and what surprised me just in spending time with you, I remember being surprised by how eager and at ease you appeared to be about just going up on stage and not really even knowing what you were going to do. Like, I don't understand that. Like, that's not a thing I understand. That feels really brave to me, but I doubt you describe it that way.
Yeah, I mean, the more you hang out with stand-up comics, it's hard to assign bravery to any of it. the more you're like with a bunch of comics, you're like, oh, this is an elevated sickness that people have been duped into thinking is modern day philosophy. But no, I think it's like, it's this desire to connect. It feels, for me, it feels exciting to just, again, like have an idea. And I like it because we're making the show, we're writing and whatever. It feels so, every moment feels so precious, and you want precision, and we'll like battle back and forth about a line and do all that. Mm. And eventually you find that precision in stand-up, but you don't need to have that this Tuesday night. Like this Tuesday night, you can just try the half idea. This Tuesday night, you can try something you thought of Tuesday morning and it could connect, or you could learn about the idea. Like there's no gap. So I think the part of me that's like, loves the instantaneousness of it, loves the feeling of that kind of feedback and back and forth. Yeah, that I really like. And I think it is fun to talk to people on stage. I don't really like doing like the crowd work thing where like you go up and just like make like zing people. It almost feels too easy. But I do like the thing where you do talk to people and kind of find something and weave it into something that you were already carrying. And I think that's been really fun. Like I think, you know, it's funny, we have this whole storyline in our first season where Rami falls in love with his cousin, but it came out of this like, this crowd work interaction I had at the Laugh Factory. I don't know if I ever told you this, but it was like, I was at the Laugh Factory and I thought this couple was on a date and they looked at me like I was crazy. And he was like, no, dude, this is my cousin. Like, how can you think we're on a date? And I was like, no, what if she's your cousin? And I just remembered like the whole room like being like, what are you like? It was like this mix of like laughter and disgust. And I was like, I'm gonna be honest, a lot of people in my family are each other's cousins, and everyone's like, oh, you know, and there's just like and then I was like, oh, this is like kind of, I like this. I like the I like that this is so real for me and so weird for everyone. But then there'd be a few people in the crowd who were like, oh yeah, I know what you're talking about. And I remember the first time I started talking about that, it almost felt like this like 15-minute town hall of someone being like, that's gross. No, I get it. Wait, what's the science of it? Wait, this is messed up. We shouldn't do it. And then someone be like, oh, you know, like it was this whole thing. And that felt really, I was walked away like very inspired.
And now that couple is married.
I got a letter from them. They're like, man, you really changed our lives. You gave us the bravery to do what we didn't think that, you know, that we want to do. Yeah, man. So that's so fun. I almost did it when I went to go see you in Atlanta. I was like, that's really fun too. Like go to a different city and then just get up there. It's a great way to just be in a city and meet people and just see like, what are the sensibilities here? Kind of different everywhere. Right. Yeah.
That yeah, I never really considered how that's definitely part of the experience and adventure of being up there is doing comedy in Atlanta, and where you're doing it in Atlanta would be totally different from doing it in Southern California or Jersey or New York or wherever else.
Or you London, know, just, you know,
yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
you know,
wow.
I just did stand up in London and, you know, they're just, it's so clear how funny they find us, and not in like a,
not in a good, good way.
Comedy, just, in a, right. In a, you guys are fucking funny. You guys are weird.
Right.
You know, you guys
right.
are just
right.
running around with guns and no healthcare. Like, it's like you like feel the, that it's not even a judgment. It's just like accuracy from a different point of view where you're like, oh my God, we
sure.
are. And that's always really, I think it's the same thing you're talking about of like digging into a character. Like, I feel like the way you, I feel like you get to know characters so you can just get to know people and get to know the human, why are we here in this condition? And it's the same thing. It's like, oh yeah, getting to do this, get up on stage, do all that. It's like just to get to know people and get to just feel something different for a night. Yeah, that's been something that feels so fun to then figure out, all right, well, how does this work on screen? And, but yeah, man, I'm like, something that I did feel with you when we did, and in terms of roles, because it's like the question that like, I'm like, I'm waiting for Mahershala Ali, the director, and when that's going to
yes,
happen,
because
I know it's going to happen.
Too.
I know
me
it's going to happen. What's going to take
me
that
too.
To happen? Because I felt it when we were working. I was like, you know, this dude knows everything that's happening right now, which was for me actually comforting. Like at first I was like you made it not intimidating because you were basically like, yo, I'm so on your side. And so like, hey, here's a suggestion. Here's whatever, because I love this and I want to be here. So I was just like, whoa, I have this instant teammate, but I was kind of blown away by how much you did see of everything that was going on. And yeah, like when did that happen?
I hope sooner than later, you know, and I definitely, we've spoken about this. I definitely wanted to do that on your show, but
yeah.
I say a huge part of my comfort in just I'm pretty good about communicating my ideas to whatever director I'm working with, but it was hugely inspiring working with you because you made something that is extraordinarily difficult appear to be like fairly easy. Just in how you carry yourself, how you make choices, how you feel relatively confident in the choices that you're making, and just how you interact with your crew, incorporate your DP into the idea. You might go, at least at that time, check in with Chris Storer about something. You know, you the way you kind of do the dance, and yeah, it's clear that you're aware of how much falls on your shoulders. But you do a wonderful job of bringing people in, sort of like the way in which you sort of operate with a light counsel, you know. But again, you're clearly the lead here. And just the way in which you navigate and communicate just your ideas, it definitely left an impact on me. And I'm still sort of blown away as to like how you do it all and how you manage it all. You know, some of that is just who you are, but the way in which you just handle yourself as a director, I love how you don't appear to overthink. There's a lot of trust in how you work and operate. And for me, I think it was the first time where I felt in real time that, you know, I want to direct. I admitted it to myself. A lot of it had to do with just watching how you operated and did things, you know? So
I mean,
I think if anything, I felt freer just to communicate, hey, why don't we try it like this? And
yeah.
you really do welcome, at least with me, I felt like my thoughts and ideas were always heard and embraced. And if it worked, cool. And if it didn't work, you know, we try something else, or you tell me why something may not work and we just wouldn't do it, you know? But a lot of that just had to do with just being in proximity to you. And because I can be heady at times and a little, I get a little bit anxious about like wasting work opportunity or moments or, you know, and just your presence encouraged me to sort of relax a bit, you know? And so I just appreciate it as how you approached it all.
I mean, it means so much, but it's like, you made it. Yeah. You again, like made it really, you injected like this whole new life into it. And that was part of being able to feel like so much ease and faith too. Cause it was like straight up like, yo, we're going, you know, we're going with this miracle of like, wow, we're all here and we're all doing this. And like, who would have thought, you know? So that, yeah, that had so much of the energy flowing through it. And it's funny too, even like mentioning, you know, Storer, we didn't have him on season three because he was doing the bear, which is awesome. You know,
amazing.
You know, it's so good.
Oh, I've seen it. I've seen it.
And it's funny because I've been talking with him, but he's been telling me about it. And we've been talking about that show for years and talking about kitchen culture.
It just made me real quick. It just made me think about like these dudes and food, man, like Rami and Chris and food. Like,
you, I know. I know. Well, that was the thing where you were like, you do everything, because we would every day like organize a lunch order. It didn't matter like what was going on, even if there's like a rewrite, even if
whatever. Show up to my trailer, I'd be like, what is this sandwich?
We've got this. We're like, we looked up this sandwich. Like, that's like most of the shoot would be like,
what? We're in the middle of Staten Island somewhere. Like, how'd you find the sandwich?
No. We would like hunt people down. We'll like grab random people and be like, what's the restaurant I don't know about? You know, and like, we don't like, we have like a huge casting issue. There's like a fire going on. We lost the location. We're dealing with all that. But then we're like, same urgency. Where are we eating? Very important. Yeah. You know, like, we're like researching, like we got like a food map. But you know, I got to know not just Chris, but his sister Courtney, and like, and I love, you know, so much of what they portrayed. It's just like this whole, like, you know, yes, chef, no chef. But I remember talking to someone at a restaurant. They were like, the only correct answers are yes, chef, no chef, or I don't know chef. And I think like my favorite one is I don't know chef, because it has this like assertiveness. And I feel like even to talk about light counsel and having a light counsel around, or, you know, to me, like the way that I enjoy having teams, and like we build teams, and the show is such a team effort. It's like, I'm like, maybe, you know, I was watching this great opera video on YouTube, and like the conductor is like sweating and doing all this and like whatever. But like, you know, this one dude has this solo and it's so amazing. And you're like, yeah, that guy's the star of the show. You know, it's the guy singing. I mean, like the conductor is doing the thing, but the guy's singing, and it's like, and it's just that visualization of it, and kind of watching how that can take place on it. The best sets feel like that. You know, it's like, yeah, everyone gets that moment to shine. Everyone knows one thing the other person doesn't know. And so it's like, how do you leverage the knowing and the not knowing into something that's, you know, that has harmony, as opposed to like needing to feel like you know everything, or needing to feel like, you know, you're manhandling or controlling the thing. And I think that's what I find fun about it, is how do we kind of make that happen? And then we kind of keep learning, and it keeps growing and all of that. And that, yeah, that's been the fun part of the journey with it. And so I think, like, you know, yeah, it was just cool, man. It was cool, like, talking to you about it afterwards, and kind of feeling like, oh shit, I wonder like what movie Mahershala is going to pick to direct. And I don't know like what vibe even has sat with you in your mind of what you jump into, but it definitely like something that I'm looking forward to.
Well, I'll tell you what type of movie I want to act in that I'm hoping you will write and direct.
Tell me,
you
please.
Know, but I feel like I should tell you offline so that it can actually happen.
Yeah, tell me.
I'll change my mind. I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah, don't put it out. Don't tell me that.
I'm serious, though.
No, I'll come to Atlanta. All right, fine. I'm coming again next month.
I'm serious, you know. So I need to. The shake is cool. I'm down. I'll pop back in, you know. But I want to do.
Oh my god! I'm taking it as a season four.
I just got to get out of Atlanta, man. I'm up here killing vampires for years, bro. Like, I got to finish killing these vampires, and then I could leave Atlanta for a second.
I was talking to Tyson, our line producer, about that. I was like, I don't know what you know his look for Blade is, but you know, we want to do this fourth season. We want it to be the last one. We'll just go to Atlanta and just get the you know, we need the final like Mahershala scene. You know, we'll go to Atlanta. Yo, even if he's dressed as Blade, we'll figure it out. Like, I don't know.
Inshallah, I'm doing it. Fangs and all, bro. Good thing is I should have a beard, so I should be ready to go. But you know what? You just need, Shake needs a fight scene. That's all.
Dude, amazing. I mean, I think everyone wants to see the Shake Rami fight scene. So, I mean, that
it don't have to be you. Maybe he saves you. Maybe he saves you. He just, you know, start whooping ass, you know. So I'm totally down. But but yeah, man. So I do look forward to working with you again, because it is truly, sincerely one of the not only great joys of my career, but just one of the great joys of my life. You are really one of those people who who does like impact people's lives, man. Like you really do. And I've seen it. So many people, there's a long line of people who would be like, yo, Rami, like really impacted my life, man. And it's just, you wouldn't even know. It's just what you do, you know, but it's just a real blessing, you know, getting to work with you and to share time and space with you and, you know, continue to just be in contact with you. And, you know, I need more of it. So anyway, I'm just putting
it
out
there. No, I can say the same exact thing back without any hyperbole. I mean, it truly, yeah, what you did to our show and my life is like never forgotten. And, you know, and then we get to commemorate a little bit of it, I guess, on this on this podcast, you know?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Just a slice of, but like, yeah, man, I love you, man.
Love you too, brother.
Thanks for listening. The A24 podcast is produced by us, A24. Special thanks to our editor, Tom Wyatt, and Robot Repair, who composed our theme.